I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:10, good morning. Hi, how are you? It's a beautiful sunrise over Lake Michigan. Right behind me, right there. Here, let me turn around and show you. See? Right back there. Dave, you described it as spectacular.
It was, but now the clouds are starting to cover the sun a little bit.
Now it's just tacular.
Yes.
It is the tremendous, crazy good view we have from the 18th floor of 303 East Wacker, the still new home of 720 WGN. How many times do we have guests go to the wrong building?
I think we've had three.
It's not bad, really, considering.
And then we've had three, and we had one food drop go to the wrong spot.
Right. For anyone who is listening and is not aware, the Tribune Tower is no longer the Tribune Tower. It's now the Tribune building that's being torn apart to turn into something else.
And of the guests that went there, they were told 303 East Wacker.
If I was, always used to the radio station being there and the Tribune Tower being there, that message wouldn't even hit me.
Well, that's what Peter Greenberg said. He did not go to the wrong spot, but he initially told the cab the wrong one, even though he...
he's been on the show 100 times to that particular place.
And he used
place.
To work in that building, so...
People ask all the time, they go, do you miss the old building?
No.
I know you don't. I personally miss the history of it, but this studio that we sit in now is the finest radio studio in America. It's not close.
Yeah.
And we have almost a year's worth of history in here.
We haven't destroyed it yet.
Actually, aside from Mary finding the gum under the counter yesterday and
we want to find out who that is.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well, you can go back to the tape. Don't we know cameras roll? We just have to ask HR if there's an incident, right?
Well, here's the problem.
I think we just asked one of the Bobs in engineering to this morning sneak us the name.
Well, where you sit is often occupied by a guest.
Yes.
So it could have been someone who doesn't work here.
Yeah, and didn't realize they had gum in their mouth and quickly had to get rid of it.
Yeah, but who? What are you, nine?
I don't know.
What kind of a grown-up, if it takes it, throw it out.
You would think.
Well, Dave takes the garbage can in there, so,
Oh, there's not. You're right. There's no possible way to find another place for the gum.
There's only two. There's one by Dave and there's one by you, right, Steve?
Yes, but there's obviously no possible way to get rid of the gum other than to stick it underneath like your child. The only childish guy on this show is going to be me.
Maybe he thought he was going to, or he or she was going to eat, chewing it again.
That's so something I never understood. That I've never been a gum chewer, but I never understood that as a kid either. You're going to attach it to the counter, and then you're going to take it and put it back in your mouth. What is that?
My little Aunt Mary, bless her heart, she's 97. She said when she was a little kid, she chewed gum so much every night they couldn't afford that much gum, so she would hide it under a pillow and she'd just start chewing it again the next day.
Aw, that's a cute, story.
And disgusting at the same time.
If you swallow gum, it will stay in your stomach forever.
No, it will not.
Yeah, and then it'll create a gum farm, and gum will grow.
Then my little Aunt Mary's stomach would be made of rubber right now.
There are actually gum tumors that have been removed from people's stomach.
That's baloney.
It's 6:13, and we don't recommend eating baloney either. It is 6:13. Let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Parents of the missing 5-year-old AJ Friend charged with murder after Crystal Lake authorities and authorities from the northwest area of the state found the boy's body found in a shallow grave. This is all coming down yesterday, 8:30, 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And it was as bad as we thought it would be. And both parents are now hopefully going to go away for the rest of their lives. The other child in that home goes back into the care of people who will obviously take better care of them than has been the situation. Yeah, I tweeted out last night, and I mean this because I've run across in a lot of years of doing this, folks who really mean well, really mean well. But you don't want to be the person who, when a child dies, goes, you know, I heard noises, and I just wish I'd made the call. There's no downside, zero, no downside to calling the police and saying, look, I don't know if there's anything bad going on. I just have a bad feeling about it, and I think you guys should check it out.
Well, they had, DCFS was there like 17 times.
No, I get it. I'm not talking about this case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just in general.
In general, sure. Right. The DCFS folks have to answer for this, and I am a big supporter of DCFS, and I believe the caseload they have is insane for the staff they have. I don't know how they do the job they do on any level. And God bless them for trying to do the best they can every day. But somehow something was missed here. And I don't know, you know, 17 times, two times, whatever.
Right.
The police were called to the house, and I've heard people slamming the police in the last 24 hours. Well, the police can only do so much when there's a domestic call.
Mm-hmm.
The place was a mess. There was broken windows. There was no food. There was traces of feces on the wall. I mean, it was just a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, the home had actually been lost in foreclosure and sold at auction earlier in the month of this month of April.
So they, were they squatters?
They were apparently squatters, yes.
And the mother, though I hesitate to use that term, the of AJ, is she pregnant again? I heard she was pregnant by another man.
7 months pregnant.
Yeah.
With another man's baby while she's back with this guy who apparently either killed or helped kill AJ. It's just as bad as it could possibly be. And, you know, just God bless that little boy. And there's just not enough bad things that can happen to those two. I don't even. How does that work when you've got someone who's murdered someone who's about to have a baby? They go to the hospital infirmary, they have the baby, and the baby's obviously immediately taken away?
I'm not sure.
I hope so.
I know that.
Well, she's not going to get to keep the baby, I'm sure.
Right. I know, like, they try to. It's always for the infant's best interest to be with a mother, you know, I think.
Well, that's the thing, because it's crazy. As crazy as it sounds.
Yeah.
She has a right to that child until a court determines she doesn't. I don't know how fast that can be done, except for the fact that you would hope there's a hard and fast rule that you can't have babies in prison and keep them in prison.
And
so,
then there's the father, whoever that may be.
Yeah, and he has to have his rights severed. Ugh, the whole thing is just a nightmare. All right, moving on. Joe Biden is officially in. The vice president got in this morning with a very strong video. A video that said, I cannot stand by and watch Donald Trump ruin this country. Paraphrasing, but not by much. The former vice president announced he would seek the Democratic presidential nomination next year, becoming the early front runner. 20 candidates in all now, including him. You'll hear much more about this later today. And, of course, our good friend of the show, Mark Doyle, has been a very close Biden family member, basically, for the last 20, 25 years. And he'll be a good resource for us as this campaign continues.
What a great video. I mean,
really is strong.
He is very strong for 76 years old, right?
He's 76, but very strong in the message.
TV worthy, yeah.
The message just talking about the fact that if Donald Trump gets 8 years in the White House, this country will be changed forever, and I can't stand by and watch that. Well, the other 19 candidates really haven't addressed that directly. Well, right. Guess what? The elephant's been identified. He's right over there, and he's got a bad haircut. next, April is Distracted Driver Awareness Month. Did you know that even if you're sitting at a red light, it's still illegal to pick up your phone and text?
Did you know that?
I did know that.
I did not know that. In Palatine, they've been giving out a lot of tickets out.
I had a cop here in the city who pulled up next to me. I didn't know he was sitting next to me. And I was texting at a red light while I was stopped, and he turned the siren on. And I look over towards him, and I made motion for me to put the window down. And when I did, he went, "Drop the phone."
Oh,
yes, sir.
Yeah, right.
Did he, when he put the signal on? Did he do the whoop whoop, like just a little?
Yeah,
tap?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Next, the NFL draft is today. The Bears don't have a pick till tomorrow. I couldn't be less interested in the NFL draft.
But if the Bears had a pick,
I'd be all over.
If they were in their traditional picking early because they had a bad year the year before,
then I'd be interested.
You would be watching.
Yeah, but I sincerely don't care.
They have they've extended the coverage now. ABC's covering it tonight.
Bears' first pick is the 87th player in the draft. 87th. Or something?
It'll be in round 3, which will be tomorrow night.
That's where the strategy changes, because the conversation is always, do you take a player by position or you take the best athlete available? I think at 87, you go, who's left?
Well, there'll be a lot of players left, but you're going to go for the best guy.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. Plus, you've addressed a lot of needs on this team. It's not like you have these gaping holes like you used to.
Mm-hmm. It's a good team.
They brought out Robin Roberts to host it, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow.
They're going to bring out Stephanopoulos, but it's late for him.
Well, Robin Roberts started in sports.
Yeah,
right. I know, but she's a big league.
Robin Roberts is the first person that threw to Pat at his job at ESPN years ago when he first started there.
That's a cool memory.
Yep.
Next, United Airlines planes are getting a new look, first time in over 10 years. The gold will still be featured on the aircraft tail, but in sky blue. Rather than gold. Kind of a Blue Thunder look.
Rhapsody Blue.
Is that what it's called?
Blue is what they're calling it.
The tail itself will incorporate three different shades of blue. There's your Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. Engines and wing tips will also be blue. The formerly gold line running across the aircraft's main body is different. The line will also have more of a swoop than the current design. Meant to signify a more nimble, flexible company.
I love that.
The swoop?
Explanation of the swoop.
Yes.
I hope they're not using sky blue. That would be a problem.
Because it would blend in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, United's name will also be bigger, bolder, and letters on the side and the plane's main body. And their phrase, connecting people, uniting the world.
Shouldn't planes be as, Mary makes a good point, as visible as possible?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you wouldn't want them in the sky equivalent of camouflage.
That's right? Why you got neon. Orange for, what is it, Southwest with the orange?
Yeah, I think that's very true and a very good point. So swooping lines, I think all planes should have a slogan on the side that says, we're screwing you with your baggage costs. I think that should be on the side of the plane.
And you're going to have to pay for snacks.
Right. Next. We've got a very busy show today, and it ties to this. Jeopardy Street continuing, and James Holzhauer's brother in a brand new feature I'm doing on a show called Brothers of Famous People. Ian Holzhauer will be on the show. He's coming in, huh? He's going to be in studio?
Yeah, he'll be here. And should I get my brother on if it's Brothers of Famous People?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Bobby. No question about it. Let's get Bobby.
Yeah. Politics coming up, the other parts on the show today. As I said, a very busy show. Republican leader Durkin will be on for the state of Illinois at 6:40. Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady on as well. I mentioned Ian Holzhauer. Dean is a moron. He'll be on with me after 8. And the great Anna DeVlantis will join us after 9 o'clock in studio as well. 6:22, that's your top six.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Many of your top scientists have asked the same question. What is Nick thinking? Nick DiGiulio joins us now. Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
How are
you? Those scientists are going to have a complicated life if they try to study that.
Avengers Endgame. Is anything else going to make a dollar this weekend?
No. Nothing is going to make any money over the weekend. It opened in China, and in one day, it made the equivalent of $100 million in one day.
Well, it's not bad. It's a pretty good start. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, and some theaters, I think it's a total in the Chicago area, I think it's a total of 18 theaters are going to be open 24 hours starting tonight, not closing until Sunday night.
So just showing it over and over again?
Over and over again. You can go and see it 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning if you want, and that's through the entire weekend all the way until Sunday night.
Well, I'm sure Saturday night, Sunday morning at 2 a.m., I'm sure there's not going to be any creeps in the theater that you go to. But not you, Nick.
No.
In general.
But if you watch it twice, that's 6 hours of viewing, isn't it?
Yeah. Watch it three times, it's nine.
The movie is 182 minutes long. It's 22 minutes longer than the last Avengers movie. And so that's one of the reasons why they're doing that, whether they're staying open, is because it's less show times to make money. Because if the movie is that long, there are less chances to show it for people to come and see it. So, you know, normally a movie's like an hour and a half, 2 hours long. You can get a few more show times in there, but if it's over 3 hours, you clean the theater, you get everybody out of the theater, you start the next thing. That's about a 3-hour and 45-minute stretch And that cuts out at least one and a half show times.
So how far away are we from, with all these three-hour movies, how far away are we from at 90 minutes everybody clears the theater and have to buy another ticket? I mean, that's got to be coming.
Oh, sure. I wouldn't be. I'm surprised they didn't do it for this. Well, they kind of did, because this is the end of Infinity War. You know, I mean, a year ago they released Infinity War, which is a two-hour and, like, almost 40-minute movie. You paid your price for that. That was a cliffhanger. Now we're going to see the ending. So they got, you know, it took a year in between, but they got two admissions out of you.
So is this really the end, or is this like a Who, Cher, Kiss reunion tour thing where they're going to come back?
Wow, all three of them together
on one
stage?
Yeah,
that'd be fantastic. If for all intents and purposes, it's pretty much over. I mean, the movie that started it all came out 10 years ago, and that was the original Iron Man. And Robert Downey Jr. has said on record that this is his final movie.
Final superhero.
And so his final, his final Iron Man, his final appearance as Iron Man, his final appearance in a Marvel movie. Right. Now, whether they continue or not, the Marvel Universe, which I think they will, because can I give you a little number about how much money worldwide the 22 Marvel movies have made?
22 Marvel releases, starting with the original Iron Man, to
10 years ago
to today, in 10 years, have made how much money?
Let me round it up just by a little bit. Close to $19 billion.
It's just unbelievable.
It's insane. It's insane. $19 billion is the Marvel Universe. And, you know, the last one, which was Captain Marvel, worldwide box office, over $1 billion. Infinity War from last, over $2 billion. Black Panther was the biggest domestic box office gross here in America, over $700 million domestically. I mean, these movies are insane.
How much do they cost to make?
They cost a lot to make, but I mean, you know, I mean, listen, you know, they've already covered. I mean, it made $1 billion in China. It did not, $1 million in China. They probably cost about $125 million, most of them.
All right, so the $100 million they made in China is a nice down payment on paying it off.
Yeah. Yeah, and it hasn't even opened in America. And the projected weekend, the projected money that this thing is going to make over the weekend, just in America, everybody is projecting, and I think this is going to happen, it's going to be over $300 million for an opening weekend. And that's never happened before, and I'm including Star Wars in that regard. Over $300 million people say this movie is going to make over the weekend.
I can't do 3 hours. I can't do 3 hours of a movie. Just can't.
Well, you know what? They've got this thing posted online, Steve, in case you're wondering, people who have seen the movie, and they're not giving away spoilers, but they are telling you the minute marks in the movie when you can go and pee.
Oh, well, there you go.
So it's not a spoiler. It's like, okay, if you got to pee, go during the 46 minute mark or the hour 12 mark.
I find it interesting that you think that's why I can't do the 3 hours. I mean, you're right, but I found it interesting that that's what you jumped to.
Well, listen, I'm in my 50s too, man. I know what's going on.
So. Last weekend, Nick and his parents saw The Curse of La Llorona. Were you the only ones in America that saw that, including the people that made the movie?
No, it actually made a lot of money.
Oh, it did?
It made a lot of money. It made like over $26 million. It made more money than Pet Cemetery did. But I will say this. And I thought it was fine. I thought it was kind of scary, and it was kind of cool. But my mom was making all kinds of weird noises during the entire movie, like yelps and like... And like heavy breathing, and then when it ended, when the credits came on, my mom looked at me and she goes, "Thanks a lot. I thought I was going to have a heart attack."
So that's the kind of thing. Thank God you're in a movie theater, because otherwise you hear those kind of noises out of your mom. You're calling 911,
exactly.
Right? So
I was close to calling 911 then.
Yeah, probably a good call. Next film club screening, North by Northwest. You don't get much better than that in making movies, and it's going to be May 7th at the AMC Rosemont 18. How do I get tickets?
You get tickets at amctheaters.com. Cary Grant, Alfred Hitchcock, big screen. You never see this one on the big screen. It's one of Hitchcock's best. $10, parking free, amctheaters.com. You can get your tickets now.
Thank you, buddy. And let's get your headlines right now. I don't mean to clip Nick. I clip Nick. I apologize, Nick.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We'll get to Leader Durkin. It's a second. Couple of pieces of ketchup, and not ketchup as in the stuff you put on a hot dog. See, I said a hot dog just to get people riled up. Yesterday, John Carney was in here from KTRS in St. Louis, and I don't know that I even plugged his own show other than to say he's on KTRS, but he really is one of the best talk show radio personalities from an entertaining standpoint, for sure, in the country. So if you're driving through St. Louis or you get a chance, it's 550 KTRS. I almost forgot the frequency, and I did shows there for a year and a half. But 550 AM. Anyway, good guy, and he's on from noon to 3. And then yesterday, I ran into Billy Deck in a men's room, but it was his men's room. It was at Sunda. I was having a birthday lunch, a belated birthday lunch with my sister. And Billy's got the 10th anniversary of Sunda coming up, so we got to have him in.
Okay, we can do that. Did you get any Brussels sprout salad while you were there?
It's going to shock you. No, no, I did not. No, I did not. I don't go to Sunda very often, but the food is just come on.
It's so good every time. I know it's, and then we do the same thing. We used to go all the time when it first opened, and then it's like you stop going a little, you know. And then every time we go, we're like, we got to come here more often.
I said, Billy, would it be awkward if I came every day?
Did the waiter sing to you happy birthday or anything?
No, my sister was nice enough not to pull that stuff.
Okay.
Do they do that at Sunda?
They will do that, yeah.
Okay. I'll go back today and say you missed that part.
Okay.
And also thanks to everybody at Bolingbrook Golf Club. I was out there a couple of days ago with my friend Kevin Shields, the general manager Doug, the head pro Dave Thompson, director of junior golf Todd Russell, I've known forever. Anyway. Thank you guys for the fine hospitality. I saw the mayor out there, too, Mayor Roger Clare. And he looks great. This guy's 74 years old, or he says 74 and a half, and he looks great. And when I think about the amount of time he spent entertaining over the course of his career, he's held up well. He's pickled. Republican Leader Durkin now joins us, and Pat Brady's here as well. Pat, say hi to Mr. Durkin.
Hello, Leader Durkin. Fine job yesterday at the City Club.
Thank you. Good morning, Steve, Pat, and everyone.
You don't like doing that, though, do you? I just get the impression that you're not a big fan of standing up and yapping in front of folks. Is that something fun for you or not so much?
I don't know if it's fun, but I think it's important. It depends on how I'm doing and how the crowd is reacting. So,
preaching to the choir.
You hit sometimes, you miss sometimes, but it's a good event. People who are there are insiders who like to hear about what's going on, and so I think it's all around. It's a good education process for everybody, and and sometimes the timing of it can be pretty good too. They're pretty interesting.
I was trying to heckle him yesterday, but he couldn't see me. I'm too short. I was in the back row.
You call that a speech? One of those. Yeah, sure.
I kept coughing. Every time I was getting into something serious, I started coughing real hard.
Right. That's the old preacher's line. That's how you know you're losing them in the sermon, when people start coughing.
Demoralizing.
There's a story that popped up yesterday about the governor, Governor Pritzker, and a guy who looks like Pat Brady was involved in the rollout of this story back during the campaign. And this is a property tax thing, and the toilets removed from one piece of property in the Gold Coast so he could save money in property taxes, and he paid it back and all that. Anyway, anything to be made of this story, or is this a little late?
No. It's anytime there's a report that the feds, whether the IRS, FBI, or U.S. attorney are investigating somebody, I hope that that person takes it very serious. This is a very serious matter. It was last fall when put away the political rhetoric during the campaign. But what's important to focus on is the report of the Inspector General from Cook County. He's a non-elected appointee from the Democratic Cook County Board, who wrote a very scathing report that there was fraud perpetrated in this tax appeal. And it was very serious back then, and it's gotten to this point, which is even more serious. So I don't think anybody should brush it aside. And I think Mr. Brady would know, he used to work in the U.S. Attorney's office, that they don't take, they just don't take every case. They look through these things. They spend a lot of time, and
There's got to be somebody in the office that feels like there's something there worth chasing.
Well, I think that there's some legs to it, Steve, and that's why this report came out yesterday.
So we'll see where the story goes. The reason I bring it up in the bigger picture is Pat Brady has indicated, and I think you and I talked about this as well, Leader Durkin, that there seemed to be some ground gained with the new governor, and things were progressing, I won't say in a bipartisan kumbaya sort of way, but there were some possibilities of getting some good work done between the two parties. So, you know, does this turn into some sort of political football that blows that up?
Well, you know what? I think that there still is opportunity to do good things. Let's just focus on the budget for this year. There's a few other issues that are still big issues that we have to resolve. But the issue that at the moment where there seems to be a lot of capital and a lot of time and energy that's being placed by the governor and also from myself is this issue on the constitutional amendment about changing the tax from a flat tax to this graduated progressive system. And I think it's very concerning that the governor is looking to change the tax code. Ultimately, it's going to change the tax rates and structures on small businesses, families, and ultimately is going to raise taxes on Illinoisans, but at the same time, he hasn't got his own taxes in order. And that, to me, is I think it really it should put some questions and it should slow down this movement that he's trying to do when he has this problem. So I think it does put a speed bump on his attempts to have this bill or this constitutional amendment passed in the legislature.
Hey, Leader Durkin, you mentioned this yesterday. I'd never really heard this before. The governor's pitching this as a way to fix the budget deficit and pay off the debt. But you cited the example of New York when they went to this progressive tax. What happened in New York that could happen here?
Well, you know what? I said yesterday, it's easy to pick on the rich guys. So we're saying that anybody makes over $250,000 a year. All right, yeah, sure. That includes the, J.B. Pritzker, the Bruce Rauners, but it also includes small businessmen and women, the pass-through corporations who that's not really income in their pockets. But what happened in New York is that the line from Governor Cuomo was that he changed the tax code and raised the rates on the high wealth earners. He said, I was told to tax the rich. I did it. And they left. Now he's faced with a $2.3 billion budget deficit. And everybody says that's not going to happen, but I'm telling you, it will happen. And what happens then is that the middle class ultimately will be responsible for picking up the lion's share of this tax increase in time, because the rates will be adjusted when the high wealth earners leave the state of Illinois.
Hey, here,
and that's the reality of what's happened in other states as well.
Here's another question, too. This is supposed to plug that budget hole, as you talk about, but this doesn't take effect for a couple years, so we have a budget deficit right now. What's the short-term fix, then? Is that just going to be a flat rate tax increase?
You know what? I hope not.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what they would have to propose.
He votes to be able to do that. That has not been discussed, but we really haven't gotten into the budget for this upcoming fiscal year, because this constitutional amendment wouldn't take place until, if let's say it did pass, it wouldn't be until FY21 when it would first come into effect. So we have to deal with a budget that currently has $8 billion of unpaid bills. There's the governor has indicated there's about a $3 billion deficit. But before we get into that, I think that the governor needs to him and his staff need to have a reality check about what we're doing. He asked for additional spending of $1.2 billion on top of last year. But you can't do that and say that we got all these problems, we got all these bills to pay, and we've got all these obligations. That's fine. I get it. Well, let's sit down and figure it out like we did last year. But don't ask for $1.2 billion in new spending at the same time. So I'm kind of baffled. I'm not kind of baffled. I'm just blown away by that.
Yeah, and just to bring it back to the penalize the rich point that you were making before, everybody does have that kind of freedom of movement, and when you lose business owners, you lose businesses, and you do lose a tax base. This has been the same argument forever, and it's fix the frickin' tax code. Fix it federally and fix it statewide. Eliminate some of the games that can be played by people with the best tax lawyers. Charge a fair rate for everybody, the poor, the rich, the middle class, everybody, and the money will come in. But this idea that, okay, if you make this much money, we're going to take this much more, it's just stupid.
It is stupid, and at the end of the day, it's not fair, and I just don't see why. It sounds popular, Steve, I know, as a campaign pledge, but this, I will tell you, will do nothing to change and fix the structural problems of Illinois.
Except drive people out.
Law. Absolutely, it is. And you forget about the little guy, the small guy, the mom-and-pop shop, the ones that I have pass-through income, which would qualify. But it's not money that goes in their pockets; it's their corporate receipts, and they would be subject to those higher rates. It's just wrong. And you know what? I my caucus, the Republicans in the House, are united against it, and I hope that there's some reasonable, fair-minded Democrats, and I think there are on the other side of the aisle, who are having hesitation or will not be supporting this. It doesn't deserve to be brought, put on the ballot for Illinoisans to address. This is it sounds easy, it sounds like it's popular, but at the end of the day, it's a terrible policy for the state of Illinois, and it could be the death knell of this state. I really believe that if this does become the law of Illinois.
Republican leader Durkin, he takes a lot of Tums, so you don't have to. He'll be in Springfield fighting the battle, so you don't today. Enjoy it. Enjoy the weather. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
See ya.
You know him much better than I do, but my experience with the leader is just, he's just to his core, just a decent guy.
Very decent guy. That's why he's so well-respected, I think, and liked on both sides of the aisle. And like the City Club, you watch him, you go, he's tough not to like, and I think I agree. I think he sincerely believes in what he's saying.
Folks, America's an idea. An idea that's stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant. It gives hope to the most desperate people on earth. It guarantees that everyone is treated with dignity and gives hate no safe harbor. It instills in every person in this country the belief that no matter where you start in life, there's nothing you can't achieve if you work at it. That's what we believe. And above all else, that's what's at stake in this election. We can't forget what happened in Charlottesville. Even more important, we have to remember who we are. This is America.
Very strong video announcement this morning where Vice President Biden got into the race as a 20th Democrat. He also threw in the fact that if we allow Donald Trump to have 8 years in the White House, we will forever change this country, and not in good ways. He pointed out that if it's 4 years, historians will look back at this as a terrible anomaly.
I agree. He's obviously comes out as the front runner for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem is he's been in government for 45 years, and the energy in the Democratic Party now seems to be with the Bernie wing and the young people. So,
well, I want to bring this up to Eric Edelstein when he's in, because the Democrats have to pick a lane. They got to decide who they are and what they want to be.
So do the Republicans.
I don't know what a Republican is anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's all, you almost need dental records to identify a Republican at this point.
That's a pretty strong video, though, and the message is good.
Well, it's strong. All right, let me go back to Springfield for a second.
Wait, do you think it was a one-taker?
Biden? Not a chance.
Yeah, you know, he'd think he worked on that?
Not a chance, yeah. And I don't know him well. I know him a little bit, and I like everything I know about him, but...
I would have voted for him last time.
Absolutely.
He's the nominee.
Because the thing that's going to come up now are his age. His experience being not a positive, as you said. And I don't know what else they'd have on him, because this nonsense about he's a groper compared to the guy
that was
in the White House.
That was a stage hit job, I think.
Yeah, the guy in the White House, come on.
But really, and listen, I like him. I'm just trying to be realistic. Go back to 1990 in the Judiciary Committee hearings on Clarence Thomas. He was sitting there with next to Ted Kennedy doing the questioning. I don't think anybody looked good. He is older. You think in a year where, you know, we saw it here. I mean, he could be the Tony Preckwinkle of the Democratic Party, where he gets just crushed by something new and different and what people want. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I think that's what could happen.
Well, Trump will be 75, I think. Trump
75.
Will be 75.
Unhealthy-looking 75. But for some reason, he's already, as much as I dislike Trump, he's very good at branding people. He's already called him Low Energy Joe, like he did with Jeb Bush. And Joe,
how is that good branding?
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's what they did.
No, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying it aggravates me that that's considered good branding.
But it worked. I'm not saying it's productive or it is productive because it worked.
Get a writer.
Well, he did it to Bush. He did it to Tiny Marco, Crooked Hillary. No, it's stupid, but it seems to work.
Eric Edelstein joins us as well. How are you this morning? Well, let me turn your microphone on. That'll be helpful.
Are you yelling at Pat again?
No, I was just yelling about things in general.
Okay.
You know what we didn't talk about, and I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, Eric, is in Springfield, are they paying attention to what's going on in Indiana? Because the governor has a gambling bill on his desk that he could sign as early as today. Do you know anything about it, Mr. Brady?
I do. There are probably five things going on in the legislative session in the next 5 weeks, and that's one of them. The gambling bill is up every year. And this year's issue is the Supreme Court legalized this sports betting, FanDuel or DraftKings FanDuel. So they're trying to figure out here how to make it work and get revenues from it. The problem is those two companies I just mentioned have been doing it illegally here for years. So they're going to sell 20 licenses for roughly $10 million. And when they did this in New Jersey, those two captured 80% of the market. So I think the pushback from the casinos, and now disclosure, I represent one of the casinos, there's issues there. And these gaming bills, unlike Indiana, tend to get, they call it Christmas train, where they put everything on it that everybody wants, and then it goes nowhere. So probably 50-50 on it passing, but it is a big issue this session.
But with Indiana approving it yesterday, or possibly getting it signed today, that means more revenue would be leaving the state that could stay in the state.
Well, you know what this is? You could have the revenue could be going to the Grand Caymans. It's all on. It's not necessarily.
But this is. But here's
the point. It's not great revenue. It's not as much revenue as been advertised.
You know what? We'll take a dollar.
Right. Well, yeah. You know, like with the other guy we had the other day, Major League Baseball wants a cut. Everybody wants a
cut. We'll take a dollar. We'll take $2. We need every dollar we can get. And what annoys me is when politicians stand up and go, boy, this is a tough one to figure out. Really?
Right.
Well, let me know when you finish solving the brain surgery issues in the back room, too, because it's not so tough to figure out. You figure out your side, they figure out their side, and then you find something in the middle and you get it signed.
Yeah, but there are legitimate concerns about rushing to it and not doing it right.
We don't rush to anything in this state.
No, but there are people. And this issue's new, though. This issue's only a year old because the court just ruled on it. So this is a relatively new issue.
Right now, the Eli Whitney cotton gin bill is still being discussed in Springfield.
But just for a little bit of context, what Pat's referring to, the Supreme Court said sports gambling is now legal. It's up to states to do it. So to your point, Illinois is an idiot if we don't do it. And I don't disagree with Pat that it should be done the right way. But other states like Indiana and everybody else is going to do it. And even if it's a smaller amount of revenue than we thought, we'd be silly not to do it.
Can't you do it the way I used to do high school, the trigonometry? Like, you know, Indiana's right next door, so I would take the paper of the kid right next door to me. You know, can't we just take Indiana's bill and just go, yeah, what they said?
I thought you were going to say you wanted to do it the way you used to run book in elementary school.
No, no, I mean, I sound like I'm crazy for gambling. I couldn't care less. I don't care if there's sports gambling here or not, but it looks like a way to make some money, and we don't have any.
Well, there's two big issues. There's this one, then there's the recreational marijuana issue, which now is getting a lot of resistance. So the governor, they've sold these as cure-alls for the deficit. There just isn't that much revenue. There's revenue, but not nearly.
But have we seen any huge negatives out of Colorado being legal? Yeah, it's probably hard to tell in Colorado.
There are some. Yeah. There are some.
You know, Colorado people are walking around anyway, kind of goofy.
An increase in traffic accidents, increase in addiction. There's issues of construction firms and insurance. I mean, most of the reports that have come out praising it have been done by the industry. They're not really objective reports. So it's still a little early in this process to see the downside.
In the opposition to this is not necessarily we don't want it. We just want to slow down.
Do it the right way.
Chuck Todd is on spring break from the Steve Cochran Show. Is he back next week?
He is.
I didn't get a chance to mention that earlier. So there you go. 7:19. Most valuable person on the planet coming up. Well, want to talk to you, Eric.
Is that, in other words, the B team's here?
Please don't switch your dial, even though it's just Pat and Eric.
Yeah.
Gosh.
We couldn't get anybody but these two. I want to talk to you, Eric, about Biden.
I heard about that.
Number 20. You know, we're almost halfway there to the total number of candidates it'll be in.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Here, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Meow. Meow.
Oh, look at the little puppies.
Look at little puppies.
I speak dog, not so much cat.
I know. It's clear as a bell.
You think when I talk like that, do you think the dogs look at me and go, just speak to me in English, idiot?
We all speak to dogs that way.
Oh, look at the little guys.
At 7:26, our most valuable person on the planet is Tammy Whalen, who, after listening to that on hold, may be questioning why she agreed to come on.
Well, it is a little overwhelming, I will admit.
Oh, look at Tammy. Tammy, the most valuable person on the planet.
Tammy, thanks for coming on.
It's a requirement when you volunteer at Pause to have that voice.
I can't imagine. You must go home and go, why are people talking like that? Why aren't they talking in puppy talk? Yeah. There is a big adopt-a-thon that we want you to know about, and Tammy, at the people to Pause are all over it. Tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, we are really excited. We're hosting our 9th annual Spring Adopt-a-thon this Saturday and Sunday, April 27th and 28th. And we have extended our adoption hours. On Saturday, we're going to be open from 11 to 11. On Sunday, we're going to be open from 11 to 8 p.m. And we're hoping to find homes for over 100 homeless animals.
Dave, you'll take what, 70, 75?
I'm not that many, but I would certainly want to see some of the dogs. You have dogs and cats?
So we're going to have, you name it, puppies, kittens, cats, dogs, all of which you can see on the Paw Chicago website, pawchicago.org.
So is this like Tinder for pets? You got them all laid out there?
Yeah, kind of. I suppose you could say that, yeah.
And
so I'll be ahead.
I didn't realize a lot of litters of all kinds of pets are born in the spring. And so there's a big population.
Yeah, it does seem to be that time of year. So we're really hoping that the community could come out and rally and help us take care of some of these adoptable pets so we can help the overcrowded shelters. And, you know, we always say when you adopt a pet from Paws, you're saving two lives, the one you adopt and another pet who can take its place.
How about that? It's important stuff, and it's a very nice thing for you guys to do. You want to name everyone that works at Paws, or are we a little short on time for that?
Oh, we're a little short on time for that. We have, thousands of volunteers that volunteer their time at Paws. Last year, the volunteer hours were over 143,000 hours, equivalent to 69 full-time employees.
That's
so
tremendous.
There's a lot of us.
That is tremendous. That should make you feel really good. All right, one more time. What do people do?
Okay, so it's really important if you're going to come into the Adopt-a-thon that you kind of prepare yourself ahead of time, and here's a few things you can do. We really encourage you to fill out the application online so you can get to it from pawchicago.org. Fill it out online, come in, we'll print it out for you, and that will kind of help speed up the process. And then if you have an animal in mind, a dog or a cat, you can see it from there. A few other things you need to have available is your state ID. The entire family needs to be present, including kiddos. If there's a resident dog, as we say it, if you already have a dog, we need that dog to come with to meet its new person, to see that they're compatible. And you need to be prepared to be a little patient. It's a super busy weekend, but for a good cause. And we're going to want you to spend a good hour with an adoption counselor, talking about the ins and outs of owning a pet. One more important thing. If you're a renter, you need to have your lease, or if you live in a condo building, something that shows us it's okay for you to have pets and what size you can have in your building.
And all those are important questions. The Paws folks aren't trying to get inside your life. They want to make sure that you are the right home for the animal.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we do our due diligence, but the one thing we want everybody to know is once a Paws animal, always a Paws animal. And if things don't work out, we want everybody to know that, you know, we have a lifetime guarantee, so that pet can always come back to Paws and we will find the right home for them.
11 to 11 Saturday, 11 to 8 Sunday, Paws, Lincoln Park Adoption Center, 1997 North Clybourne. Thank you very much, and thanks for being the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, thanks for asking me, and we hope to see a lot of people this weekend. Thanks, Steve.
All right, thank you. Hold on for us. That's Tammy Whalen. and let us know about your MVPPs. Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady are here. A word for just a second about that little boy who's was found dead yesterday, and his parents have been arrested. Andrew Friend, 5 years old. 5 years old. So, again, instead of blaming DCFS, who has a job that is impossible, the police and the judge involved in the case, there'll be appropriate investigations on all fronts on how this little boy was failed by the system. And we don't know what's going to happen until those reports come back. But instead of doing that, why don't you do something positive? Why don't you go out and foster a kid today? Because I'd like to tell you, Andrew is the only child in danger in this state. But what do we find out from the Let It Be Us people? There's 18,000 kids that need to be fostered right now?
Right now.
In the state of Illinois?
Yep.
And
there's more every day. I mean, that's, you know, there's a, and the second they turn 18, they get kicked out and they have nowhere to go. So
right. Good luck.
Yeah.
And the problem's getting worse because of the opioid crisis.
Right. I mean, Andrew, that child was born with opioids in his system. So he's a, you know, a direct casualty of the crisis. So,
you know, it came up this morning too, and Pat, you may know something about this, but the mother and father are both, you know, charged with murder. So the mother's pregnant and about to have a baby from another man. When a baby is born in prison of someone that is charged with murder prior to a trial, what happens to that baby? Because the courts haven't said that, you know, she can't have the baby yet. There's got to be a legal process, doesn't there?
I'm not sure exactly. I really don't know.
I mean, logically, though, that makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. There is a huge crisis and movement now on because of the increase in the female prison population, not just in this state but in this country, is how families get treated, how they get separated. Because you're right, Steve, the kids end up being the victims of these situations. And there are situations where there's mothers in prison, not for something horrific like murder, but low-level drug crimes, who are then ripped from their kids and don't have parents to raise. And it's just, you know, it exacerbates all these problems that we know about.
Right, and that exponentially makes it worse because kids grow up without the grounding they need and can take the wrong path as well.
The good news is on the opioid thing, I think 2 days ago, the first criminal action has been taken against the companies that manufacture on
good.
Opioids.
Yeah, I saw some of the pharma guys taken in.
Yeah.
You know, so that should make you feel good. All right, 7:33, we'll come back. We got to talk about Vice President Biden being in. The over-under now on total number of Democrats who want to be president is all of them. Eric is the only one who hasn't declared. It's 7:33. Your headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is about a person out of control who took the law, turned it upside down. Every time there was a crossroads, he put his personal and legal interest ahead of the nation. He's the chief law enforcement officer of the land. He encouraged people to lie for him. He lied. I think he obstructed justice. I think there's a compelling case that he has, in fact, engaged in conduct that would be better for him to leave office than stay in office.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
That was Lindsey Graham talking about Donald Trump. Wait, a note's just been handed to me. Oh, no, that was Lindsey Graham talking about Bill Clinton in 1999. The hypocrites are all in elephant costumes this time around, and it's just amazing. Mueller report came out a week ago. It feels like 6 months. Have you heard any prominent Republican outside of two or three come out and go, well, we've definitely got some stuff that the public deserves to have looked at here? There's never been more cowards. What did Mitch McConnell say?
Mitt Romney did.
Right, I said there's two or three. Yeah. Romney and maybe one or two others.
Yeah, nobody did. I read the whole thing. It's quite something to see.
It's so ridiculous. And overnight, a story that I haven't had time to dive into yet, but Russian mob money going into the campaign for McConnell to be reelected in Kentucky.
Oh, I didn't see that, really.
Yeah.
I thought there would be more of that in this report.
You know, what's great is just when you think you've hit bottom in this country in politics.
Nope.
We go lower.
A little bit.
Yep.
All right. So Joe Biden becomes the 20th candidate in for the Democrats who were absolutely not going to make the same mistake the Republicans made when they put 22 in a couple of years back. The Democrats have to decide who they want to be.
Yeah, but whenever you say that, like you act like there's one Democratic brain. The problem is there isn't. So,
who you want to be in regards to a message, yeah. And something that the American sure. public could latch onto? I don't know if you heard, "Make America Great Again" worked out really well. For
I heard about it. It's on a hat somewhere.
Yeah, right? Yeah. All you need is a hat. Yeah. Get a hat and a slogan.
Here's the thing. Look, Biden starts out as a absolute top tier front runner. The question everyone's asking is this his high water mark, or can he sustain it? He's run for national office four times, twice as vice president with Obama, twice right. on his own.
Right.
The ones where he ran on his own didn't go well.
Right.
So there's a lot of questions on how good a campaign he's going to run. There's a lot of operatives, a lot of fundraisers who already committed to other candidates.
But the guy who runs Comcast... Mm-hmm. is hosting his first major fundraiser. So let's get deeply political for just yeah. a second. Does that send a message to the other big Democrat check writers to get in line sure. because this big dough guy with Comcast is already in?
Yeah, for sure. And I think Biden will have his share of those. You know, there's some questions. Did he wait too long? But look, it's still early in the process. I think there's a lot of people that are very excited that Biden got in this race. I think there's a feeling of we got to beat Trump. I think everyone is enjoined on that. And I think there's concerns that Sanders, if he's the, you know, de facto front runner, really could imperil the idea of stopping Trump.
Well, if it turns out to be Sanders and Biden as frontrunners throughout, the you're too old argument goes away because Bernie's a year older than Joe.
Well, I think there's a lot of arguments against Donald Trump. Age, I think, is pretty far down the list.
Right.
You know, he's got a lot of other things, you know, like being a bad human being, breaking the law, colluding with Russians.
Cheating at golf.
Obstructing justice.
Cheating at golf. That to me right there is just
cheating at golf describes as a human.
Being anti-American, embracing racist and anti-Semitic. You know, age sort of goes pretty far down that list.
But I can't wait to hear Donald Trump talk about how old Joe Biden is.
Right.
Trump's about to turn, or will be 75, I believe, next year.
Yeah, when, much younger than Biden.
You're ridiculous. We don't know if Biden will make the cut. We don't know if Bernie will make the cut. We do know Bernie, at least off the shooting from the hip, and I don't know which hip it is because he's got one bad one, said that felons ought to be able to vote.
Yeah.
Guy's still in jail. That doesn't seem like a good call.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I support rights for felons who've done their time and become citizens
sure.
again and should be able to rent houses and apartments and get jobs and vote. But
totally agree. When you've served your time, absolutely.
When you're in prison, no, you should not be able to vote.
Mistake, or does he really believe it?
I think he really believes it. You know, he's got a far left view of lots of things. You know, Mayor Pete from South Bend was really the first one to kind of go after Sanders, and he made the point that a lot of what Sanders did in 2016 was novel and got people excited and all that, but that lots of people are sort of talking about that stuff, and maybe the novelty will wear off, and Sanders won't be the best nominee for our party.
We come back, Pat. I'd like you to talk about what Donald Trump has actually accomplished versus what he's getting credit for accomplishing, and then I want to ask you, Eric, about a couple other Democrats who have been prominent early in the race here. Because I don't know if you heard, it's still a year and a half away.
Are we going to Iowa?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It was fun last time.
There's some good golf courses there, Pat.
Not in January.
Oh, yeah. True.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ian Holzhauer is waiting in the PPG Paints green room. Be on with us after the 8 o'clock news. It's a new feature I'm doing here. Brothers of people who do really well on game shows.
Is he in there with Bob Romano? That would be Joe Romano's brother.
We're hoping to get other famous celebrity brothers. Yeah, yeah. So we're working on it. Pat Brady's here. Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
And how was the Lincoln Forum?
It was great. You did a great job. We got some events planned for the summer. And on another note, you're coming to Saturday to host the Tuskegee Next Gala fundraiser, which we...
Love that organization.
Yeah, we take 10 high-achieving but at-risk young men and women and get them a 12-week boot camp and teach them how to fly. And they'll let this be the fourth year. I think we have 37 pilots out of 40. So,
and American Airlines, just to use an example of one airline, is so short on pilots that they are having to reconsider how they do the entire program.
Yeah. Remember, we were sitting last year in the original Tuskegee. A couple of the guys are there.
And when they brought out the color guard and the whole room of 400 people, the ones that stood up the first were these guys in their 90s to snap to salute.
One of them, 97.
Yeah, and then you did a great job with it. We raised a lot of money. And remember the story of the young woman who was afraid of heights?
Yeah.
But she wanted to be a pilot, and she was one of the speakers, one of the success stories.
This is a great story all the
way. She gets up and tells the whole story. She goes, "I was afraid of heights." Gets in the plane for the first time, you know, one little two-seater plane, four-seater plane, and she ends up getting her pilot's license. And now she's, I think, a junior at Emory studying engineering, and she wants to be a commercial pilot.
Yeah, I think she already had a line on a job.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
May have been with American.
Steve Davis, the chairman of the DuPage Airport Authority, this is his idea. His dad's, he's at the Will Group, and it's just it really is an inspiring.
Very impressive.
And thank you very much for doing
what you
do.
All right, so, Pat, you and I have talked about this off the air and on the air, but in brief, what has Donald Trump actually accomplished, and what should he get credit for?
That's a good discussion. I haven't seen anybody really go along this line, but of all the things that he ran on, the wall, all the trade deals, there's really virtually been nothing accomplished. I mean, the economy is good, and you can claim credit for that, which he's done, and every president does. But other than that, I don't know what he runs on.
Yeah, because Mexico didn't pay for the wall.
Right. We're out of TPP. We don't have a deal with China. It's worse in Iran. It's not any better in the Middle East.
Right.
I mean, the economy is good. You got to give him credit for that, to the extent he deserves it. But I don't know what the rest of the accomplishments are.
Well, I run into people all the time who say they have less money now. Now, I know there's some people who say they're doing better with Trump, but I run into people all the time who say, no.
Yeah, the numbers are awfully good, and you actually saw some wage growth for the first time in the last couple
of years. But if it's outside of your 401k, if you're not playing the market, which most people aren't, I don't know how you benefit, because it's two economies. It's the economy of the stock market, and it's a real people economy.
Yeah, but you're actually seeing lower income wage growth a little bit. So I'm trying to be
fair. What about the unemployment part? Because the unemployment numbers are historically low across the board. Shouldn't he get some credit for that?
Sure, and he deserves and will claim credit for that. But to me, the things that he ran on. But as I say that, his numbers amongst the Republican base are good.
Well, we can't identify Republicans again without dental records.
Look, I think he does. I think he does have accomplishments. I think he's divided this country. I think he's set us back generations. I think he's destroyed international alliances that took generations to
I don't remember him promising that during the campaign.
No, but they are accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a world order that was created to sort of keep the peace, to fight rogue nations, to try to create coalitions when there's terrorist attacks and democracies and certain ways of life are threatened. And he's threatened all that. He's put all that at stake.
And that's Biden's point.
And he's pitted Americans against Americans. And, you know, you don't have to be a Democrat or Republican to say those things. Those are facts. And, you know, that is, I think Biden's point in his video is, if you have four more years of that, there may be an impact that is indelible and hard to undo. Or will take maybe decades.
Here's another point, too, and you talked about the choice.
And I gave you last word here because we've got like 30 seconds.
Sorry, but the choice in the Democratic Party. Trump's rigged up this election for him in the Republican primary. As a Republican that doesn't care for the president, I don't have a choice. They locked up the RNC. He's changed the rules in New Hampshire. So if you're a Republican and you don't like the president, you do not have a choice. He's all we've got.
We don't have time to talk about Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris, so I'll ask you those questions in the hallway, and I'll report back with your answers.
Fair enough.
Eric Edelstein, Pat Brady, thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Stand by. Brothers of Famous People coming up in just a second. Dean is here for more on entertainment as well. What's coming up, Dave?
Okay. How many? You said brothers, like plural.
Well, it's the first in a segment.
It's a
series. It's going to grow and flower.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably not flower. Probably not flower.
James now has the three highest one-day totals for winnings on Jeopardy. James.
With Harding.
Yes.
Home runs, education, plain Jane, bargaining, the mashed potato.
Yes. You've become a celebrity now. Going to be a lot of pressure on you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Is Raleigh, Gary, Rice Price. There we go. 11,914. What is Brain Trust?
That's it. Daily double.
25,000. What is Stand By Your Man?
You're right. You're at 71,114. And this is for you, Granny. Is your grandma still alive?
No.
You're going to add some more money. You have just set a one-day record again. $131,127.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Lewis, some brothers can be so annoying. That's James, Big Money James Holzhauer, And his brother Ian's here. Is Dean with us, or is he coming in a few minutes?
Dean is with us.
All right, let me get Dean on here, too. Dean, I'd like you to say hi to Ian Holzhauer. It's a new feature we're doing here, Dean. It's Brothers of Famous People.
What is morons sibling?
No, see, the answer is morons. Then you would say, what is Dean and Steve? Right?
I love this idea of not having the person who is in the news, but
no.
A sibling of theirs.
Ian seems like a delightful guy. Ian, what do you do?
Steve, I'm an attorney at Nagel Obarski in Naperville.
Okay, well, you're a smart guy.
Well, thank you.
So is James older or younger?
He's a year and a half younger than me.
Okay, so how annoying was he growing up?
You know, when you've lived with somebody who's got this kind of talent your whole life, you're just used to it.
So even at dinner, he'd answer every question and he'd dominate conversations and things?
You know, it's kind of interesting because most people who are this smart, you know, they're sort of into these highbrow things,
yeah.
Opera, things like that. My brother, he calls himself a connoisseur of low culture. So he knew the word, pretty much every word for word for the movie Dumb and Dumber. Probably could quote every great Simpsons line.
Dean, it's our kind of guy.
Yeah,
every got great, moron potential.
Every great Simpsons line from episode 1 through 9, or I mean seasons 1 through 9. So there's a lot of fun things growing up with that.
As an older brother, how many times per week would you say that you beat him up,
or thought about it?
Well, he's actually pretty strong. He's a pretty good athlete, actually. So
at some point, you crossed over and said, "I can't punch him."
It was a pretty decent match a lot of the time. Yeah.
So do you guys have sisters, too?
No, it's just the two of us.
I feel for your dad, who has been very gracious to folks and all the ass that he's had. I think he's finally said, I don't want to do any more interviews. But he's been very nice about all this. And I'm sure he's very proud. But it's a whole different thing when your brother blows up as an instant celebrity like this. Everybody's lives change, right?
Right. I mean, that's been true for me, too. Yesterday, I was at Hugo's Frog Bar in downtown Naperville. We were celebrating something for work. And pretty much everyone that walked to the table at the bar, the conversation turned to Jeopardy. So, you know, my life has shifted. Used to be an attorney and a father of four and Air Force veteran and some other things. Now it's 90% Jeopardy brother, which is fine, but...
The answer is, I've got my own problems. What is Ian's story right now?
In addition to him being a Jeopardy celebrity, you're an attorney, and he is a professional gambler.
That is correct.
I don't even know what that means, by the way, professional gambler. Does that mean he makes his living in Vegas, Atlantic City, online, whatever?
Right. So he lives in Las Vegas in Nevada, and he just places tons and tons of sports bets. All the casinos know him. And there actually is a community of people in Las Vegas that do this, not well known outside of Nevada.
Does he have a specialty?
It's sports. He really started out with baseball. Actually, his WGN story. I mean, really every day in the summer when we were kids, watch WGN, watch Harry Carey and Steve Stone.
Okay.
On WGN, listen on the radio when we weren't in front of a TV. And he just loved the Cubs, and he knew every home run leader in Cubs history.
You know, Harry Carey would be proud to know that he grew a gambler. That would make him very happy. Dean, do you have any famous brothers?
I have three of them. They're all, I would say they're more infamous than famous.
Yeah. My brother Mickey's become more famous, but I just don't know what this would be like. But you said you're an Air Force vet.
That's right.
Where did you serve?
So I served in a few places. The most interesting one was I was stationed on the island of Guam.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
And how long were you in?
I was in for 7 years.
Oh, well, thank you for the service.
So
thank
you've served the Air Force, you have four kids, and you're an attorney. Do you look at your brother and think, like, what the heck are you doing out there?
Well, so in fairness, he is married, has a kid, and I will say he's one of the best fathers that you'll ever see.
And an incredibly understanding wife, I'm sure.
Yes.
What does he say when he comes home? Honey, how was your day? Over-under didn't work out for me. I don't even know what kind of conversations you can
have. You know, one thing about being a sports gambler is the hours are very
odd. Oh, that's true. You're working nights, you're working weekends.
Right.
When you were kids, did you play games? You know, competitive games. I mean, did you have any early inclination that this was going to happen later in life?
You know, annoyingly, he's actually pretty good at a lot of games outside of trivia. So he was a very good baseball player. We played baseball a lot. But in Little League, maybe in fifth grade, I want to say he hit 20 over the fence home runs. Part of that was just he was really big in fifth grade.
So a good athlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a really big fifth grader.
Yep.
Now, he comes across as an extremely confident man.
Almost to the point of being annoying to you.
Do you ever have to put him in his place?
You know, I think partly that's a little bit of his public persona on the show. He's being the heel. He's being a showman. The gambler thing he's playing up.
That's an interesting take because I haven't heard that brought up, but that does make sense.
Yeah.
So he's poker facing the other two players.
Yeah. I mean, he's a gentleman. You know, I don't think he's trying to intimidate him or anything, but I think he knows he's on TV. He's having fun. This is the dream of his life to be up there.
So did he talk about being on Jeopardy before this?
I mean, he's wanted to do this for a decade. My grandmother used to watch Jeopardy with him growing up. And, you know, she didn't even speak much English, but this was like a bonding thing for them. And so he had promised to her growing up, hey, you know, Granny, I want to be on Jeopardy someday. And she didn't get to see that. But
she encouraged it.
I mean, of course, you know.
That's her little Jimmy.
He went by Jamie, by the way.
Oh, Jamie, sorry. Yeah. Dean and I are working on more on Jeopardy. For instance, the slide would be revealed and it would be blue, and I would go, what's my favorite color? So it'd be questions like that.
Instead of daily doubles, we have daily dopes.
Daily doples.
Dave Ennett's daughter was on Jeopardy.
Well, she was, and so Ian, my question is, because we had they put the fear of God in you as far as violating any of the secrecy surrounding the show, because we were there in the studio for the tapings.
Sure.
So we knew the outcome, but we couldn't tell anybody in our family how she did.
Does the audience have to sign releases as well?
I think everybody in the studio has to.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, I know we did, and we had to swear, and in fact, they can disqualify the contestant if word gets out ahead of time.
Well, this is a good time, Ian, for you to tell us, right after Dave asks his question here, is how did it work out, because we know the show's taped way in advance. We'll get to Ian's answer in just a second, Dave.
So, I mean, were you clued in on what happened, or did you have to agree, or did you do a...
Did he put the hammer on you?
An oath of secrecy?
Yeah, so a couple things. First of all, Dave's being modest because his daughter was a Jeopardy champion, which is a huge accomplishment. I could never have done that
myself.
How about that? But secondly, I am amazed by how well the show keeps a lid on things. I mean, my brother, admittedly, he lives in Vegas, so I don't know his every move, but he had a cover story, apparently, every week that, you know, he was out taping.
That's tremendous.
I had no idea.
Oh, he didn't even share it with you guys.
Oh, no. I didn't know he was going to L.A.
Oh, so you didn't have to hide anything because you didn't know.
Right. I wasn't in the loop. His wife knew.
Was your dad upset that he didn't get a chance to go see it?
I don't think so.
Right. Right, Jamie, I got my own problems.
But I don't know how any episode's going to go. I don't know. Maybe today's the last day. I really have no idea.
Dean, does this remind you of the Bozo Bucket game?
Is he on bucket number 6 now?
Let me just ask, is there a 10-year wait to get tickets on Jeopardy?
Yeah, right.
Enough said.
I'd love to be there right now.
This is where I drop the cream pie. It's like a mic drop. I drop the cream pie. Boom. That's it.
Now, I don't know how to ask this question, but I think it's a fair question to ask because I think people are wondering.
Sure.
$1 million plus, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I don't know how good a gambler your brother is. I'm sure he loves the sport and the competition of winning and doing as well as he is. But is this life-changing for him, or is he, you know, doing okay in Vegas?
I think that he's... look, I mean, you see how good he is at trivia, and those skills apply to sports gambling, too. But what I like is... you know, with these winnings, he's been very quiet about this. He's not publicly posting or anything like that, but they've been going around to children's charities in the Las Vegas area, and especially there's a lot of needy kids out there, and been giving to food banks and things like that.
He sounds like a good dude.
Yeah, I mean, when they were back in the Chicago area, they took my son, their nephew, Jack, out for lunch at Culver's, and there was a donation box for Feed My Starving Children, a great charity.
Yeah, that's a great charity
in our area. And my son was really into it, and so you know, after Jeopardy, you know, my brother made sure to send them a contribution too.
Well, that's cool. We sound like a good guy. You know, it's funny you mentioned your kids. How old are your kids?
They are 11, 9, 7, and 3.
So when you get home from work, you're a hardworking attorney. When you get home from work and they got a dice game going in the living room,
hey, Uncle Jamie's gambling. Why can't we?
Yeah, they have a very odd perspective on the world. I was actually on a local TV game show once. James obviously is not Jeopardy. James's wife was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Is that right?
Yep, she was. She did pretty well too. And then my brother-in-law Kenny, their uncle Kenny, he's on NPR, so he's on the radio. And his wife is a journalist for the Washington Post. So
nobody's like, really working a regular job.
What local game show were you on?
It's Naperville Community Television, Channel 17's Game On. I lost, by the way. I didn't get a single question right in the buzzer round. So,
did that kill your brother? He is probably so disappointed. Embarrass him by not getting it.
Can't believe you passed the bar.
Oh, shocking.
Dean, you get the last question for our friend Ian.
What do you think will happen next at when the Jeopardy run ends?
You know, I think my brother will probably get a lot of opportunities just because he's sort of getting a name. What I would love to see for him is for him to be able to use this statistical knowledge of sports to, I don't know, work for the Cubs or work for ESPN.
For good and not evil.
Yeah, well, and it's his dream, honestly. He loves the Cubs so much, I'd love to see him working there.
Dave, make a call. He could be in charge of analytics tomorrow.
The sabermetric type.
Yeah, I think they've got, they're pretty fully stocked in that
they're
area.
They're only two games over 500. How's that working out?
Well,
come on.
They're going to be okay.
You know what's funny is I don't think the Cubs listen to my advice.
No.
That's pretty evident, probably. Yeah, probably. So
what he needs to do is go to a team that's struggling and use his stats to turn them around, and then that really makes him the hot commodity.
That's true. Yeah. How about TV movie of the week, Dean? Can we get that done? The Jamie story?
I'm pretty sure I could get him a weekend anchor slot here at WGN.
Yeah, there's no question. I'll see the general manager, Paul Rennie, today. And Aunt Becky got fired. Maybe he could do some of that Hallmark Channel stuff.
There you go.
Just thinking
on
that.
New neighbor on Fuller House.
Right.
The really smart neighbor on Fuller House.
That guy seems to know everything. Well, it's great to meet you, and I'm glad you gave us some perspective on him, because obviously you don't know much from just seeing him on the show, and you sound like a great brother. Sounds like you got a great family.
Well, thank you, Steve.
And you want to plug your law firm, or will that not be something you're interested in?
You know, I work at Nagel & Oborski in Naperville, and I am an attorney. I guess this isn't public information, but what the hell, I'll make it public.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually going to become a partner this year.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations.
Eat that, Jamie. Yeah. Great to see you, man.
The really interesting part of that is in every trial that he's been in, when he talks to the judge, it's in the form of a question.
Right. And the judge could not be more annoyed. great to see you. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for coming over. Say hi to your family. 823. All right, we'll come back, Dean. On the agenda, got new James Bond info, Springsteen, Prince.
Yeah, there's a lot of breaking entertainment news this morning.
No kidding.
And killing me. I usually just kind of float by every morning. I've had to actually pay attention today.
There was one thing on your list. It was all Avengers. That's
right,
all
that was a good day.
Yeah.
All right, let's come back more in a moment. Back to Dean. All right, we got a lot to get through, so let's jump in the list. What's the James Bond movie?
They announced some information this morning about what will be the 25th James Bond movie. They didn't announce the name of the movie. They didn't say when it's going to be coming out, but they did confirm this morning that Daniel Craig will be back for his fifth turn as 007, and they confirmed that Rami Malek is going to be the villain in the movie. Rami, who just won an Oscar for playing Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Isn't it kind of hard to buy a little wiry 5'2" dude as a villain?
I think I can see him being diabolical.
Really? Okay. Well, you know you're diabolical better than I do.
You know, if he has a derby hat with a blade on it, you know, suddenly you're a great James Bond villain.
It's funny you say that, because I saw Billy Deck yesterday, and that's exactly what he had.
Billy Deck? Is that why he always wears hats?
Yeah, he's got a blade on it.
I never knew that.
Springsteen album?
Billy Deck. That's our annual. For those of you playing more on Entertainment Bingo, that's our annual one mention of Billy Deck that we do every year.
Oh, so maybe more than that.
Put that on your playing card. They just announced this morning that Bruce Springsteen has announced when his new album will be dropped, as they say in the music business. The album itself is going to be coming out on June 14th, but tonight at 11 o'clock, they will drop the first single from the album. And Springsteen is saying that this is going to be based on kind of a Southern California vibe.
Where's it dropping? A little bit different.
On all the usual...
Music services?
Music places, yeah.
It's dropping at 11 o'clock tonight?
They say 12 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay. So I don't need to hear Springsteen do Beach Boys music. What is that?
I don't think it's like Beach Boys. I'm thinking it's going to be more of like a Eagles-y kind of... You know, country rock kind of sound is what I'm thinking.
And when is the album? I'm sorry, what was the date of the album?
June 14th.
Sorry, my kids...
My
stepkid's mom and husband are obsessed with Springsteen. So I like to break Springsteen.
Springsteen's solo album, and it's going to be called Western Stars.
Well, I went to the beach, and the factory workers were there, because they were thrown out of the factory yesterday.
My heart is still hungry.
They couldn't afford a blanket, so they just sat on the sand.
Why I'm still dancing in the dark.
Prince,
it's not that hard to write a song, is it?
Well, I don't know.
It's not that hard. Prince, a new Prince album is going to be coming out that will be comprised entirely of songs that Prince wrote for other people that became hits. You're going to hear the Prince versions of these songs. Most famous among them, Nothing Compares to You.
I think I told you the story. I was in a small club in Minneapolis with 30 people and saw Prince do Nothing Compares to You. It was like we were all just hanging around with piano.
Oh, I can imagine. That must have been... I'm getting pretty goosebumps great. Just hearing
pretty
you say
great.
That.
Yep.
That's amazing. But Nothing Compares to You, Manic Monday, just another Manic Monday.
Isn't it so weird that he wrote that?
That the Bangles...
I love that song.
Me too.
There's nothing about it that sounds Prince.
When he does it, I heard a version that he and Apollonia did.
Oh, okay.
That was like in a nightclub, and you could barely hear them singing. But it's a completely different. It's not as bubbly and poppy sounding. It's a little more bluesy sounding.
You know what my favorite part about Apollonia was? Her super loose fitting leather jacket.
Really?
There's a reference to the movie. All right, and the Prince album is going to be out when? Because Sandberg needs to know. She's opening a record store.
Yeah, that I have not received that information yet.
All right, so the Stars of Empire, I think people are wondering this. What do they think of the Jussie Smollett situation?
Well, I guess last night on Empire, if the way things are set right now, would be the last time that Jussie Smollett would appear on Empire from last night's episode.
Okay.
But Lee Daniels, the producer of the show, Taraji P. Henson, and Terrence Howard have all written open letters to the Fox Network saying that they are demanding that Jussie return to the show.
Well, how do the people at Crafty Beaver feel about that?
They feel about what?
What? The people at Crafty Beaver, where the brothers bought the gear to do the fake mugging.
Oh,
how do they feel about
Crafty Beaver? I get it now. Well, these are the people who are on the show saying those are the big three on the show, and they say that they want him back.
Well, good. You can have him. Yeah, personally, I'd like to have him shoot no scenes in Chicago. Maybe work that out too.
Yeah, you don't have to yell at me.
And we're out of time, but there were stars wandering around Chicago. So if you're in line, and
Dave Bautista, a former WWE, but he's also Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy and the new Avengers movie.
And I was at Walgreens, and I thought, is that Kumail Nanjiani in front of me at Walgreens?
It? Did you really see him at Walgreens?
No, absolutely not. Oh, but you couldn't you?
They're in a new movie together, and they were in town yesterday. I talked with them about a lot of different things, and we'll have it on the website.
All right, Dean Richards, thanks. I'll see you tomorrow for more Moran.
See you then.
All right. Anna DeVant is coming up.
And we're giving away a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco next.
Oh, we are?
We are.
Okay. So. Let's get it. I mean, you got to drift off to nothing.
You ever go to Whole Foods? Everybody at Whole Foods looks like they make their own clothes. Right? This hemp clothing comes in two colors, oatmeal and throw up.
Sebastian Maniscalco, did he add a show or what's going on?
He did not add a show.
Not yet.
Not yet. So far, it's just the Saturday, November 2nd at United Center. A pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco's You Bother Me tour. Reserve seats on sale this Friday, August 26th at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com or the United Center box office. However, we have a pair of tickets to give away now.
You going to give them away?
I might keep them for myself, actually. Hmm. We will definitely be going to this show.
Why don't you, just give away one, like somebody can go
oh,
with
yeah,
you.
Oh, yeah, you can take me.
There you go.
So I think if we go with a seventh caller.
Seventh caller?
Yeah.
I'll give them two. We'll find more for you. Give them two.
Give them the both.
Okay, yeah, give them both.
You can have the pair, seventh caller, and be ready to laugh your butts off.
Oh, absolutely. Reserve tickets on sale Friday, August 26th. That would be tomorrow, yep. 10 a.m., Ticketmaster.com, United Center box office. 8:43, a couple of things to catch up on now. Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un are met today. It's nighttime in Russia now. And we don't know how the meetings went, but don't you picture like a Dr. Evil summit meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're in a mountain shaped like Putin's head. And they're talking about what evil they can do.
And a hairless dog sitting on his lap.
Stroking it.
A lot
slowly.
Of pinkies up in the air.
Right. Kim Jong-un going to see Vladimir Putin is a direct result of Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un not getting anything done. And Vladimir Putin supposedly said he intends to bring Kim Jong-un's message to America. Can you imagine if Vladimir Putin came here for a summit? Are you friggin' kidding me?
Wasn't he going to?
Yeah, and of course we got shut down because there's no...
He was actually going to come to the White House, wasn't he? Or was it in Florida?
He heard about Costco. He heard our Costcos are really impressive. He wanted to come see it. So it's crazy. Some more information coming out about the Adele and her husband, Simon Konecki, a divorce. Supposedly, it's about 180 to 200 million in the settlement. Most of that money, of course, made by her. And they are still friends, allegedly, but the reason they're getting a divorce is because she had to be more career-centered than he was comfortable with. So, I don't know. I'm just looking forward to her new album.
That is there's a common problem. Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari had a problem initially in their relationship where they broke up because he didn't want her to be career-centered.
How's he doing now?
Now he's doing okay.
Now where he's like a barnacle on her show.
And if I follow the timeline correctly, they broke up, but then they were pregnant, got back together, or got back together and then got pregnant. And then now they're happily ever after, though.
How many kids do they have?
They have three.
So he hit the receiver at least three times. That's fantastic.
Yes, but now he complains that she goes to bed at 8 p.m.
Well, she's got a full-time job. Jay doesn't.
Right. So. Well, they call him the Manny.
Yeah, okay.
He takes the kids to school and picks them up.
Here's a story. You know, there's so many stories that come and go now because the news cycle is so fast and you forget about them. Not because you intend to, but they slip your mind. Horrendous shooting in Parkland, Florida killed a bunch of school kids. The shooter in that case came from a family with some money. And it has come to the attention of public defenders that Nicholas Cruz, the imprisoned shooter at Parkland, is a beneficiary in a MetLife insurance policy and entitled to half of the death benefit. The death benefit, $1.8 million. Anyway, he's going to get $864,929 in, he got he supposedly got the check this week. Should have been settled yesterday. So the judge said, well, you don't get a public defender anymore then. You pay for your lawyer.
Oh.
$864,000. And by the way, as much as this monster should never see the light of day and should be in prison for the rest of his life, he's entitled to the money. His life insurance policy had nothing to do with the horrific crime he committed. There are some things in life, though, where you just should go, you know, that rule shouldn't apply here. There should be a different rule, and I get to make up the rule. And the rule is all that money goes to the victims' families. But that's not the way it's going to work out. In Sri Lanka, there's still desperate concern that there are more terrorists roaming the street or about to. There were 9 suicide bombers. 9. And 8 of them were men, 1 woman. And one of the interesting backstories here, kind of bizarre backstories, is that the suicide bombers came from either comfortable or well-to-do Sri Lankan families with college educations and obviously lots of reasons to live.
The suicide bombers killed at least 359 people, were largely well off, including one who was studying law in Australia. They were from middle to upper middle class families, financially independent. Their families were stable. None of them appear to have had previous criminal records. And the brothers Inshaf and Ilham Ahmed Ibrahim were sons of the prominent Sri Lankan spice exporter Muhammad Ibrahim, according to an Indian news outlet. Carrying virtually identical backpacks stuffed with explosives, Inshaf, 33, and Ilham, 31, entered two hotels and blew themselves up along with lots of tourists. And, of course, the others that were detonated were largely in Christian churches where Easter was being celebrated. The father, Muhammad Ibrahim, and a third son, Ihas, are among 60 people minimally being interrogated by police in Sri Lanka as that search continues. Just a nightmare story. 8:49. So there's some stories catching up on that we didn't have time to talk about earlier in the show.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Pat, ready to go, boys?
Yeah, all good.
Pat Hazel wrote for Seinfeld. And by the way, Pat, most people don't know this. You only wrote on the really funny episodes, right?
Yeah, that's the credit I'm taking now. Sure.
The Wonder Bread years is a brilliant idea because I'm 58. Dave, you're how old?
I'm a little over 50.
Yes, and so we're baby boomers. We may be near the end of the baby boom, but we're baby boomers. So everything in this show...
But you're in the bullseye, boys.
Everything in this show is going to be identifiable.
Yeah, well, one of the fun things about it is that it's a kind of a contagious sort of throwback situation because it's like playing a game of remember when or do you remember with your friends.
Right.
And the more I do it, the more people in the audience speak up about things. And it cracks me up. I'm on the radio or something and somebody will call in, do you remember the recipe to 1-2-3 Jell-O? Or, you know, like stuff I couldn't possibly come up with. But I always research it after, you know, they want to know the song to Action Jackson or some obscure thing. And it's sort of, you know, kind of a side interest now to be a pop culture anthropologist for me.
That's the funniest slug, by the way, because, you know, Pat's got just great previews and reviews for this show. And I love that PBS calls you the funniest pop culture anthropologist. Is there anything more PBS than that sentence?
I know it's a mouthful, but I guess they're just saying that I'm not digging that deep for the archives. You know what I mean?
All right. So here's the thing. I believe that between all of us here on the show, because we're all baby boomers. Okay, not Sandberg, or Michael or Joe, but the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably play just off the top of our heads a little bit of the Wonder Bread years tennis here by just lobbing things at Pat, and I bet the premise is probably in the show. For instance, did you ever ride in the Wayback, Pat?
Absolutely. The Country Squire wagon with the wood panels on the side.
Yeah, buddy.
Do you know why you rode that way?
No.
So when your parents would pass the Dairy Queen, you know, like you couldn't see it until it was behind you.
Oh,
right?
That's true.
Like, oh, stop the car. It's like, oh, we'll go to the next one, right? Because you were looking out. One of the things that was funny to me is that was the seat you took. It was a backwards bench seat, and that's the one that you would, you know, pump your arm to get the truckers to honk their horn.
Yeah.
So, but it was hot back there. That was that back windshield was like a magnifying glass, and it was, you know, we were like a
it did
be sweating and miserable
back there. Yeah, it was horrifying,
and also car sick.
Yeah, Mary's one of like nine. Yeah, because there I was the last three of our seven kids.
Oh,
the three of us lived there.
Mary
for like
was
12
one of
years.
Nine kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Seven.
Okay, so I imagine in that station wagon, Mary probably got a flared knuckle like punched into her, you know, that vaccination mark you had on your arm.
Oh, you know,
the hot spot.
Yeah, of course.
That was the spot.
By the way, if Mary, being where you fell in your family, you probably rode the hump for a while, didn't you?
I did.
People that don't know what the hump is, that's not dirty.
Yeah, because
right.
I was the last of the three, middle child.
There were no seatbelts. Like when we were kids, a car seat, forget about a car seat. Somebody was sitting on like two phone books with their dad's belt across their waist.
Right,
you know?
Right.
There was no safety grading or anything like that.
Do you remember getting in the car in the seatbelt? You go, that's hurt. Take that seatbelt and stuff it down there and stop whining. You stuff the seatbelt into the seat.
Right. And if you find any Cheetos, you can eat them when you're down in there.
Exactly.
It's funny. One of the things on Pat's list says the homemade Halloween costumes. I know my husband was a hobo a couple times.
Yep.
And his mom wiped Vaseline on his cheeks and then used fireplace soot to stick to the Vaseline.
Ah.
And that's what made his beard.
Oh, well, she was a Renaissance woman.
That was advanced. See, most people, the dad burned the wine cork, right?
Yep.
They burned a little bit of a wine cork and then smeared that. And that was good for a hobo beard or under the eyes of a football player. You know, that was a sort of a multi-tool once you had a little bit of black ash going.
See, I didn't have...
But nobody could be a hobo now, could they? I mean, it's like...
That's politically incorrect.
A person would be insensitive, yeah.
Right.
You couldn't be an Indian either. And we had an Indian costume and a clown costume. We just changed them off every year.
Can't be a clown. Can't be a clown. Clowns are sad. Can't be a clown.
We have a cycle of costumes because they were all kept in the linen closet all year round. And you had to be one of those things. But our, I would call it general neutral costume, was the witch costume. We didn't want to be a witch, but somebody had to be the witch, right? So it didn't matter if you were a boy or a girl. You know, it's like, I don't want to be a witch. I'm a boy. Well, you're a warlock. Put it on and get the hell out of the house. You know, it was like...
My mom sewed my sister and I in her witch costumes when we were like 3 and 4. And then we had to wear it every year for like 5 years because it took her so long.
Sure.
So they were like to our knees. The witch costume didn't hit, you know, because we grew taller.
Oh, sure. That makes total sense.
Suddenly you're in the witch miniskirt, right?
Right.
So it turned into a hot, little, nasty teenage outfit. Go out and the boys would love it. Yeah, there you go.
Our lowest member of our costume cast system was the year the Kentucky Fried Chicken gave away a Colonel Sanders mask. You know, plastic Colonel Sanders mask. It was horrifying. And we had a red and white striped smock tied on the waist. And then my mom got a chicken bucket to collect your candy in, right? So every door, you're like, bing bong, what are you supposed to be? I'm a moron. Just give me whatever you got there, you know? We look like Burl Ives on a picnic, you know?
You know, we had no money, and we didn't know how poor we were, but we had no money, and we didn't really even have for the plastic face thing that didn't breathe with the rubber band on it that would snap that you'd have to hold on your face when you ran from house to house. But one year, I actually got a hand-me-down Halloween costume, and I had to go as my brother. I just went as my brother.
Really?
He just gave me some of his clothes, and I just went
that's
as him.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that's all you had to
do. Jeans and a striped shirt or something.
Well, we'd go into the store and mom would go, "Where are the husky boy pants?" Oh, God.
We had hand-me-downs that were 3 generations. Like, these were clothes that my uncle wore, my brother wore. They were sent overseas to a war, and then they were like somehow returned to our address. Like, they were threadbare clothes. But I don't know, you know. And my mom was a nurse. So I think my craftiest Halloween costume, at least, was that she had a big box of Ace bandages, so I got to be the mummy. Like, the one year, I'm like, she wrapped me head to toe in Ace bandages. But we always had the same meal on Halloween, which was that she had a crock pot full of chili going, right? So you might be ahead of me here, but if you're going to spend the evening running around with a sheet over your head or wrapped in Ace bandages, you don't want to fuel the night, you know, with the chili.
It's not great. That's not great. That's a problem.
Brutal. Yeah, you got to unravel, you know, because it's just brutal inside there, you know.
And by the way, much like the rest of us in the Wonder Bread years, I'm sure Pat gets into this, but Pat, because we all grew up this way as baby boomers, when you go outside, your parents would say, stay outside and play. And they actually locked Pat out. Nobody had a cell phone. Pat's never been home. Pat left his house at 12. He's never been home. He got a job with Seinfeld. Now he's got this. He doesn't even know where he lives anymore.
Well, they would let us on Halloween stay out till midnight running pell-mell with these. You know what I mean?
How about that?
No adult supervision, you know, get all the, you know, throw the apples in the trash, right? It was sort of a reverse alternative universe, right? And now, at least when, you know, my kids were out there, were people driving their kids in the golf cart and holding their hand and, you know, like x-raying their candy, you know, big change on Halloween.
My dad would used to look for razor blades in the apples and then he'd save them and use them.
My dad's trick was we would come back and he would pick the best candy bar out and say, I have to test this one for razor blades. Right? And he would eat a Babe Ruth or whatever. But no, none of that one. Yep. What do you got?
You got any Reese's? It's the Wonder Bread Year starring Pat Hazel. One of the funny things about this is the show is Sunday. Now, I know how busy you are, Pat, but be honest with me. The show's at 3 o'clock because you're afraid we can't stay up till later?
Well, I'm getting to that age. You know, I want to get home before it gets dark. No, it's a 3 o'clock matinee, and it's I think it's something that the Mac wanted to do.
That's a smart idea.
Sort of a family outing.
It's a smart idea, I'm telling you.
I guess baby boomers are starting to get up there, you know.
Tim Conway, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, was touring with Harvey Korman, and Conway's taping an interview with me. And he goes, Steve, I don't have the plug stuff. Can you do that for me? And I go, yeah, I'm going to be at the Paramount Aurora at Wednesday at 2. And he just goes, 2? 2? I'm not freaking dead yet. 2 on a Wednesday?
That's hilarious. Let me tell you a Tim Conway, Harvey Korman story. I grew up on a lot of Carol Burnett, and sure. God, it was the greatest.
It was the greatest.
When they cracked themselves up, when they would break it out in laughter and sketch, and they would keep it on the show, which happened all the time.
Yep.
That, to me, was the highlight of television, right? But not that long ago, I was reviewing some tapes where they were reflecting on it. And I think Tim Conway asked Harvey Korman if he ever used Viagra. and Harvey Korman said, at my age, that's like putting a brand new flagpole on a condemned house. I mean, it was hilarious.
What a tremendous line. That is fantastic.
So funny.
Wonder Bread Year stars Pat Hazel's coming to the Mac, the Mackinac Art Center. That's on the college of the campus of the College of DuPage. Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And if there's any tickets left, get them today because they're going to be gone at themac.org, at themac.org. Pat, nice talking to you. I'd love to see you next time you're
here. Thank you. I appreciate the extra love, guys. Thanks for getting the word out.
You got it. Thanks, man. It's funny, dude. Funny, funny dude.
There's some things on this list.
They're tremendous.
Well, like the cereal boxes that turned into, boy, you pour the milk right into the box.
Right. Yeah, you'd make the bowl out of the box.
Right. I mean, it was ahead of its time.
Tremendous. Just tremendous. And Devontae doesn't remember any of this because she was 21 just 2 days ago.
Funny. Very funny stuff.
So, did you ever ride in the Wayback? You didn't have a Wayback.
No. Mm-mm. No recollection of that whatsoever.
All right, we'll come back, get the news in just a second, then more with Anna and CLTV. Hi, everybody on CLTV. We're coming back next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Cheeseburger in paradise. Heaven on earth with the onion slice.
What do you think if you were in charge of the Illinois Restaurant Association and be a big fat guy who couldn't get out of a chair? What do you think then?
Can you imagine? You just got to walk around and you were all the restaurants that we have here in this city that are so amazing.
All the fabulous food. Look at this guy. He's in fabulous shape.
How is that possible?
Got to work out every morning because I got to hit all these beautiful, great restaurants.
And you got to eat.
Culinary capital. Got to eat. Got to eat.
Sandberg, introduce our guest, please.
Well, no, you're going to make me say his last name.
Sam Toya.
Sam. Oh, okay. There you go. Sam Toya.
Yeah. you had name fear there.
I did. You put me on the spot.
President and CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association. Nice to see you as always.
Thanks for having me. Nice to see you as well.
And we're specifically going to be talking about Chicago Gourmet, the most amazing food event in the city.
Yeah, so spell it out. What happens?
Well, Chicago Gourmet is the premier food and wine show in the country. I don't care what South Beach says or Pebble Beach. We have the best food and wine show in Millennium Park, the fourth weekend in September every year. This is our 12th year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we start planning now?
We do start planning now. Yeah, okay. We have over 240 chefs that participate.
Last week of September, you going with me?
I'm going to go. Okay. I've been many times. I just love this event.
You've never
love
asked it. Me to go, would you?
No, that's true. I didn't.
And it's grown.
You go see
your business. Wait.
You don't get in the
city. No, it's true. I didn't. That was your entire sentence.
Because she knows you're going to decline. Did you hear it? She knows you're going to say
no. You always say you want to be invited, but you never go.
You got to
so
go.
So I figure that out.
In Sam's case, I'll make an exception.
Aw, thank you, Steve. We appreciate that. Beautiful.
But the Restaurant Association work continues all year long.
Yeah, it does. You know, we got James Beard starting in a couple weeks. We have the You know, this week we got the Eats Week. It starts tomorrow for the James Beard Awards. That's on May 6th at the Lyric Opera House. As you all know, that is the Oscars of the culinary industry. And we have the James Beard Awards here in the culinary capital of the United States through 2027.
What's Eats Week?
Eats Week is that you get, we have over 130 restaurants participating, and they give a dish that represents James Beard. So we have 130 restaurants participating, and they give donations to the James Beard Foundation's scholarship program. And they, you know, James Beard scholarship program has given over $8 million in scholarships to the future culinary leaders throughout here in the United States. So we're raising money
for these
young folks.
Sandberg and Devlantis, they go out and eat, you know, and never together. They go out and eat all the time. Is there a restaurant in town that you haven't been to that you'd love to go to?
And there's, I feel like they're popping up just in my own neighborhood in the West Loop every single week. It's hard to keep track. There's the new Hoxton Hotel. There's like, they've got a restaurant everyone's talking about.
Yep, that's another Stephanie Iser. Boca Group, yeah. Boca Group seems to open a new restaurant every 2 weeks.
Don't they? And then I just heard about a great lunch spot, Bellamore, that everyone seems to go to. And I don't know. There's just so much to check out.
I'm still working at eating my way through the Wells Street Market.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where are you?
I've done a French fry thing. I've eaten tacos. I'm waiting for a day where I'm really hungry to get a big sandwich. these big, really delicious sandwiches. So,
which you could eat for a week.
Yeah.
I thought you were eating your way through the Pedway.
I've pretty much eaten my way through the Pedway already.
Because you got all the way over to City Hall?
I did get the way to City Hall. Yeah, because I didn't do any repeats. You know, there's the ones that keep the franchises, you know, are whatever. So I did.
What's the most repeated franchise in the Pedway?
Ooh, that's a great question.
It's like a Potbelly's or a McDonald's or something?
Is there more than one Duncan?
There is more than one Duncan. There's, you know what, Anna, that might be it. The Duncan's or the Aubon Pan.
Oh, Aubon Pan.
Yes.
Trivia.
Aubon Pan.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the you can get those videos at our website.
Yeah, because they're still up there where you are eating your way through that Pedway. All right, so when did tickets go on sale for September?
So the tickets go on sale. We did our pre-sale already, and that was... We sold that out records. And you online right now and buy tickets for Chicago Gourmet at chicagogourmet.org. We have Saturday and Sunday tickets that are $195 per person. Remember, you get to taste premier wines and beers and spirits and taste foods from over 240 chefs. This is the ticket to have. It's the fourth weekend in September, September 27th to 29th, and you can go online at chicagogourmet.org to buy your tickets now.
And one of the things I like about the this event is that I don't always want to sit down and have a stuffy meal, and so this is a fun, you know, you get to walk around, you're not tied to one dining experience, and you're trying it, but it's relaxed and enjoyable, and you can interact with people.
Yeah, and your return on investment's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for $195, what you're going to be eating and drinking, come on.
The chefs bring it. I mean, because you have the top chefs America, Chicago.
Absolutely, chefs from throughout the country, but we have some of our great talent here, from the Stephanie Iser to Rick Bayless to Paul Kahan, all these, you know, Graham Elliott, all these great chefs participate in Chicago Gourmet.
Sam, when was the last time you paid for a meal in Chicago?
Oh, come on. I'm a great tipper.
I don't know if they're all laid out yet, but there's always those events around Chicago Gourmet as well.
Yes.
The Hamburger Hop and
yes,
things.
Yes, we have the Hamburger Hop. That's the Friday before that, September 26th. We have ancillary events, which we'll be announcing in June, but we always have some great ancillary events around Chicago Gourmet.
It'd be a good name for a restaurant, ancillary.
Yeah, you got to, like, prime your stomach. Yes. You know, you got to eat at the ancillary first before you hit up the big gourmet event.
And you said you're going to announce more of those coming up.
Yes, in June. That's right.
All right. So I know you've got these weekend tickets left, but these are the daily tickets, right? Is that what
these
I'm talking about?
These are the daily tickets. You could buy weekend tickets, too. So if you want to buy weekend tickets, that's $310. You can come all weekend long, but you definitely better be in shape to be drinking and eating. So
right.
You're using Uber and Lyft all weekend long.
And by Sunday, is it just sad as you see people waddling in for more?
Right. They're all wearing glasses. Plastic waist pants.
Right. Sweatpants Sunday.
Sweatpants Sunday. That's
Chicago
right.
Chicago Gourmet. Well, Sam, you do a great job. And if you only
Thank
had
you.
Some energy.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm a little shy. I'm trying to get out of my shell here. I'm working on it.
And you're Super Joe suggested that Sam come back for the accent challenge that we do because he's got a definite.
I can't tell. Where's he from?
Chicago.
Is he from Chicago?
What neighborhood are you from?
I grew up on Belmont and Austin.
Oh.
There you
love
go.
It.
Yeah. Northwest side of Chicago, and I still
Northwest
live on the
side.
Northwest side of Chicago.
Northwest side.
Northwest side.
People come in from all over the country. What's the farthest way you've ever heard somebody from coming to Chicago?
Australia.
That's pretty fun.
We couldn't get any kangaroo that weekend.
We do have some kangaroo. We gave you to get some kangaroo meat. You're gonna come. You're gonna taste some this.
I was gonna come, but Devlantis won't bring me.
I'd invite you, but then you won't come. That's the issue.
He's coming this year. If I gotta come and get him, he's gonna come.
Yeah, Sam, I'll be
right over there.
You bring out that Northwest Side thing.
That's right.
You get your guys on Steve.
Yeah, I'm from the far west side, as you know. So, Sam, great to see you. For information on this, to get tickets, where do you send them?
ChicagoGourmet.org.
All right.
Go on up there and buy your tickets, and we'll see you September 27th through the 29th, Millennium Park, the best food and wine show in America.
And if anybody ever asks, goes food in Chicago, you got a guy? I got a guy. I got Sam.
You got me.
I got Sammy Toya.
Sammy Toya.
It is 9:27, and the Steve Cochran Show continues. You know, did you talk about this, what you just told me off the air? Did you talk about it on the show?
No, I did not.
Okay, you got to bring this up, because we were talking on the air a second ago about how annoying it is when you're on an airplane and there's a minor delay or maybe a major delay and you get no information.
It used to be that way, right?
Can we ask the airlines not to share everything?
We had a pilot just coming back over the Easter break who basically updated us on everything about how the tanks were overly full.
The lavatory tanks.
In graphic detail, how we could not take off because of the fullness, and that they needed to tend to the large amount because we were going to go on a long flight, and that these were going to overflow, and that we couldn't potentially would have some problems. And it was just, everyone was just groaning. And then he'd come back and update us. We're not quite filled. We're not quite got the tanks, you know, emptied yet, but I'm going to keep you posted. We're like, please
Christ,
don't.
On a bicycle, I don't need to hear
please
that.
Please don't.
That is crazy. That is absolutely nuts. By the way, if you hear any sort of interruption, we've got a silent fire alarm going off right now behind us. And,
that's concerning.
We were told about this.
That it was going to happen?
Yeah, we got an email several weeks ago about there being a fire drill today.
So funny that you think I read email.
So you can stay in the studio. Those of us who are in the studios can stay put. Those of us outside of the studios need to evacuate.
Is that the deal?
The phrasing they always say is the non-essentials.
Which is why you leave the talent behind.
Yeah.
Which is why non-essential people are running into studios right now. Yeah.
At the Tribune Tower, there was a floor captain on every floor, and the floor captain had a bright orange vest and a trucker hat, like a giant red trucker hat to go with the bright orange vest. And, man, I was wishing I could be that dude.
I think our floor captain is Bennett. Or he's our...
He's sitting there in the back of the control room, so... He's doing a great job.
Yeah, he's not too concerned.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's our CPR floor captain.
Oh, okay.
Bennett is the guy we call if we need CPR.
We almost needed him this week.
You know, they still make those plastic fire hats with the red lights on top that are battery operated.
Oh, that'd be cool, too.
It'd be very cool.
There was the Tribune. We were on the 7th floor offices over there, and the elevators were, you know, 180 years old. So if everybody was leaving at the same time, it was impossible. Or you'd walk down the 7 flights of stairs to the bottom. With the knees that I have currently, that's not happening. So I just went in the office and sat there. I said, look, we both know the building's not on fire. You go out, have a good time, tell me how it goes.
We got yelled at the Tribune Tower during one fire drill. Is that the one you got yelled at?
Yeah.
Somebody was carrying a Diet Coke, and the guy went nuts on him.
Yeah.
Carrying a beverage. You were the one with it? Yeah. Okay, I remember. It scared me.
That was right after he had to deal with me not leaving. And Adelavante, it's an update, Anna. You've been listening. You've been
hearing a smooth journalist. Love my walk-on music.
Right? Come on.
That's John DeCoste.
So, you know, Anna, did you consider yourself an investigative reporter, just a reporter? I don't want to give you the wrong title when you were...
I did a lot of investigative kind of stories, but I was never really had that title.
Not that title. Mm-hmm. When I listened to Anna on with Andrea Darlis and the reporters, I think it was their maiden show, they were talking about covering things. And the story of AJ Friend yesterday reminded me of Anna saying that one problem that she had is because she covered... all these bad news things. Mm-hmm. Every area that you went to was tainted by memories of every story you've covered, that bad things that have happened. You know, you couldn't get it out of your...
It got to a point where I remember my relatives from England were visiting, and I was driving around the city, and I would, they'd say, oh, what a beautiful little area, and like wherever it was, Old Town or whatever, and look at that. And I would remember, I have a flashback in my mind of being in that alley with police officers and what I saw there. And I just, you know, you just sort of accumulate all those memories over time, and it makes me really feel for police officers.
I remember having dinner with you or a lunch with you where this wasn't too long after you came to town. And this is right when you started to crank up the investigative work, which I think nobody's been better at that than you have in this town. But when you said, I can't do it anymore. I can't go to one more house where a mom has lost her kid and whatever, the stuff that reporters have to do in a big city.
You do. I mean, you're always, they called me the dark angel of death in the newsroom at NBC because it seemed like whatever the worst thing that happened in our city that day, I would go to it. And then I'd report for the 5 on one thing, sometimes another thing at 6, and then again at 10, and think about all the horrifying things that happened. And you're right, when this heartbreaking story of AJ, I mean, you think about
it. So awful.
Even you could feel it in the voices of the officers who spoke at the news conference, because you talk about this whole focus on mental health now, and Superintendent Andy Johnson put out a very personal video about how they see these things, the most horrifying things, every single day. And that builds up inside of you. I mean, you're human, you have kids, you connect with people, or else you turn it off entirely, and then that's also a problem.
Well, you know, a ton of cops. I mean, do the cops take care of PTSD?
I think in the past, if you reported it or even indicated that you had it, they could take away your gun and they can put you on desk duty. And that was a fear that, you know,
so it felt like a demotion, not a medical treatment.
Absolutely. And now they're taking away that piece of the whole thing and saying, no, it's okay, that's normal, we're going to get counseling for our officers because they need it. And they've increased the number of mental health professionals on the job. And Superintendent Johnson, he put out that message, the video message of himself talking about his own personal feelings of getting walking away from horrifying situations and taking it home with you.
Is that Jamie Pritzker talked at all about refunding mental health? A lot of the funding was taken away when Rauner was governor because of the budget problems we had. And Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart's been very honest about the situation that he's in at the jail, and I think it was a 60 Minutes piece where he had the famous quote where he said, I run the world's largest mental institution without funding.
Right, and that's a very powerful thing to say, that people are ending up in the criminal justice system because of mental health issues, and there's something really wrong about that. But I guess
no beds for them, no facilities for them. They commit crimes, and they had to come there.
And no treatment.
With no treatment. And you put them in the general prison population, and then you have problems, obviously.
Well, look, you just look at the stats. You look at what's happened, and there's no question over the last decade, and you can blame all kinds of administrations, you can blame all sorts of things, that we have cut mental health treatment centers, facilities, and all kinds of services for people in need.
Let me switch you to politics. What do you think of Biden jumping in?
Did you see the president's already been tweeting about it? What is he, Lazy Joe? Is that what his nickname is for him? Is a sleepy Joe Biden.
Okay.
Here we go.
He needs nickname camp. What is it about Joe Biden that's sleepy?
I don't know.
Biden's like the Energizer Bunny. He's always running around.
So smiling and, it seems like the Democratic Party is the one giving Joe Biden the hardest time because they feel like maybe his time is past or something. You hear people say that, but he's a moderate. The polls show he can beat Trump
right
now, and he deserves to have a voice for, choices in this. That's what a primary is all about.
No question. And he jumps out to an early lead, and he's got some pretty significant donors at this point. May 15th apparently is going to be his big grand opening party in Philadelphia. He's a Delaware guy. I don't know him well. I know him a little. And every time I've had an encounter with him, he's been nothing but great and authentically Joe Biden. Because a lot of the times, you know this with politicians, and obviously all of this with celebrities, the person you see on camera or hear on the radio is not the same person off the air. Biden, in my experience, is the exact same guy. And he's a guy who, when he leaves the room, you wish you had more time with him.
Yeah, I found that as well. And I find that, people say that he gets emotional. I like that about him.
Absolutely.
I feel that he's human, and it does seem authentic when he emotes about and think about his own life story.
The
and
guy's
he certainly
lived.
Life. Yeah. There's
you think
no
about
question.
The fact his first wife is killed and his daughter is killed in a horrible car accident, and he is a new senator. I think he was 26 or 27. And I think it was Ted Kennedy. He told Ted Kennedy, I don't think I should be here. I think I need to focus on the boys and try to raise them. They said, no, we need you, and the boys need you to do this. He stuck it out. He stayed with it. Eventually met his wife, Jill, who's been married to now for many, many, many years. She had a less publicized car accident. Imagine if you went through what Joe Biden went through. And three or four winters ago, well, a little longer than that, probably five or six winters ago now, he gets a call that she hit a jackknife tractor trailer, which is the way his first wife died. And she was okay, fortunately, and no one was injured, but just a nightmare. And, of course, then he lost his son, Beau, to brain cancer.
Horrible.
So he's been through a ton.
Yeah, and, I just think that that's the piece of him when he speaks. He speaks from a place of having lived. I mean, yeah, sure, he's had a charmed life in some respects, being a senator for so long, a vice president, that kind of thing. But he's human, and you do feel that. Now, I think that you see the party. You have 20-something candidates now. What is he, 21?
I think he's 20.
He's 20 as of this announcement?
Right, I think he's 20, but we could have 21 by the time we're done with this break.
I know. I think a lot of people within the Democratic Party are favoring those with new ideas, and there's that more left wing of the party that's sort of pulling people that way. You have to see how well he does with fundraising. Certainly Bernie Sanders does very well.
Who's older than Joe?
I know. It's 76 for Joe, and what is
77
for Bernie.
Which means he'll be 78, and invited me 77
what
on election day.
What I find fascinating is the mayor of South Bend,
mm-hmm. Pete.
Pete Buttigieg.
Thank you. Thank you. He apparently polls very well with older women. So it's like here you have the millennial who's pulling in the grandmas and the baby boomers.
Old ladies love Pete.
They love Pete. And then you've got the Bernie Sanders, who's 77, who has the millennials. So all of it sort of is
It's going to be interesting to see who are the first to drop out, because it's a very expensive game to play. And, you know, the ones that are on the fringe are probably going to go away first. But then, you know, you can catch lightning in a bottle. Jimmy Carter, when I was a kid, wasn't supposed to be anywhere. Nobody knew who he was. And suddenly he becomes Jimmy Carter and he's president of the United States. And Clinton, you know, this is not a stretch to say, if not for Ross Perot, Bill Clinton never would have been elected.
Yeah. That's not a stretch. And Barack Obama certainly falls into that category.
Right. Or as Mark Sapelsa called him the first time he met him, Barack Obama.
People didn't know how to pronounce it. I remember looking at the ballot. I was covering that race, too. We all asking each other, how do you say that? How do you say that name? What do you do?
Sapelsa tells a great story that he was having to get back at Channel 5, I guess, to do what must have been the 10 o'clock news. And there was some event, and Obama wasn't the primary speaker at the event, but he was going to run for Senate at that point. And he'd been the community organizer, he'd been the guy in Springfield, but people didn't know who he was. He was just this tall, handsome fella who could give a good
great
speech,
smile.
You heard. So Spell said, I'm hustling back to the car. I tried to sneak out because I couldn't stay. I'm hustling back to the car, and all of a sudden I hear somebody running up behind me, the gravel under their feet. And I turn around, and he goes, it's this very tall African-American guy running up to me. And he said it's Obama, and he wants to spend some time talking to Mark about his interests. And he has big plans. And Sapelsa said he got in the car and called the newsroom. And he said, who's Barack Obama?
Look him up. See if you can figure out this guy. Who is he?
And I don't know that you got to sit down with him after that.
No. I mean, you think about that, you know, and so you never know who's going to pop out of a crowded field. And look at what happened with our mayor's race.
Right.
Crowded field. Lori Lightfoot, probably one of the lesser known candidates with less name recognition.
Sure.
Certainly was low on the fundraising side of things as well. And she popped as people got
don't
to learn.
Don't you know her fairly well?
Yeah, I mean, over the years, I've actually, because I felt she was fair on police issues, consulted with her just to see about stories we were running and that kind of thing.
So how do you feel about her as mayor? Are you confident?
I am confident, yeah. I do.
Well, that's good to hear.
I do feel that she's honest about her intentions, about fighting for the people, and she certainly has her work cut out for her.
Could she put a team around her to do the job?
I think she's doing that right now. She's got a lot of talented folks she's been hiring. Today she was talking about the aldermanic privilege that she's unveiling her detailed plan. That's one thing she's very good at, is details.
Yeah.
Go to my website, read about what I'm going to do. I'm not going to waffle. I'm not going to promise. It's not a campaign speech. This is what I plan to do.
I suggested as a solution to this that every alderman gets one shady favor, and that one shady favor is all they get to do. We don't question them on the one shady favor, and then it's over.
It's a lot of shadiness.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
K couple of minutes before 10 o'clock. Anna, you want to plug your Rokun situation this afternoon?
We would, yes. We are...
You're on at 3.
We're on at 3, that's for sure. That's happening. There's no White Sox interrupting us, so we're off the stream. The stream gets a little wacky.
So Roe won't be swearing today, then.
Roe said he cursed on the stream.
He cursed on the... He was quoting the president, though, so I think... Is that okay?
Oh, because I told him yesterday he needs to drop an F-bomb or if he doesn't get cursing credit.
There are some stories that get told and inhibitions that are lost when we go on the stream, so it is worthy of listenership, I think, but it's a little more organized when we're actually
You know, speaking
of
the personal stuff, I'm glad you brought this up because I forgot to plug it, but completely curse-free, the new Steve Cochran Everything podcast this week is Ross Cochran interviewing me.
It is.
You're, oh.
Yeah, so you should listen.
How about that? I love that.
Yeah, part one.
Part one.
We just got to where I hit puberty. We got more to talk about.
That is a cool thing for a son to interview a father.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's a beautiful
thing. You should have done it for Father's Day.
Well, we're going to be
part
on
two.
That one.
Well, yeah, maybe that's, I'll schedule the part two to line up with that. I didn't know that there was going to be a part two until I was listening in about 38 minutes in. Steve goes, and this is just part one.
Yeah. It's like the Mueller report. It's going to be 438 pages long.
Is any of it redacted?
Good portions have been redacted. Yeah. Yeah. It's my son. Come on. I got to redact. I had to redact most of the 90s.
Steve, 40 years ago, Mel Brooks made History of the World Part 1. I'm still waiting for Part 2. Is this a similar situation with you?
Depends on funding. Oh, we're looking for the right producer.
And I will warn anybody that's listening, there may be a sex reference a couple minutes in, but ride that out and then you're okay.
There's a sex reference?
There is a sex reference.
Ew. Ross or me?
And then then Ross said, if you're still listening to this after that reference.
I made a sex reference with my son?
Yeah. No, he did. He made a
made a sex reference. Yeah. Well, no wonder I was uncomfortable. Yeah. I just remembered I'm appalled. And that's why I forgot to tell him he's grounded. Even though he's got a family of his own and no longer lives with me. So anyway, Anna, this was all about you, as you could tell.
Yeah.
So the plug for this afternoon?
The plug is, I'm not sure exactly what's coming up on the show, but it will be awesome, and you have to listen.
All right, so listen to Awesome, starting at 3 this afternoon.
Today.
We need one more break, or are we good? All right, we're good. So what are you guys doing today?
We're going to talk everything Walt Disney with our Walt Disney World expert.
Why couldn't you get Walt Disney?
Sad news on that, Steve.
What happened?
No, he just wasn't feeling well today.
You talked to me,
Mickey?
Yes.
Oh no, the boss is dead.
Bill, go because you do a pretty good Mickey.
No, I can't talk. The boss is dead.
That wasn't the Queen.
No, Queen. Queen. Queen is completely different.
So we hear from the Queen and Mickey saying hello to each other. How would that sound?
Oh, hello.
I think Anna has a Disney rep.
I went to Walt Disney Magnet School, so I could sit in for that.
Oh, please come back for that.
And David Hochberg is refinancing Walt Disney World, so we'll talk to him about that, too.
Yeah, Walt Disney Magnet School, did you get your choice of Disney Magnets when you graduated?
Well, I thought I was going to Walt Disney World, and my mom didn't correct that vision until I showed up and realized.
Do you know why it was called the Walt Disney Magnet School, Steve?
Not.
Because as a child, if Walt Disney was walking past a refrigerator, he would stick to it.
I had no idea.
True. It's a little known fact about Walt Disney.
Did the characters teach the classes? Like, did Mickey do algebra?
I wish. None of that happened. There was a big bust of Walt Disney there.
It's time for the Pythagorean theorem.
We rubbed his nose.
A squared plus B squared equals what?
What happened to Mickey?
I'm squeezing as hard as I can. Okay?
Yeah.
Another sex reference.
Oh, wait till part two.
Oh, I'm shocked. Really, I'm upset with myself. Here's Wendy. See you tomorrow.
The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable...